Okay. Hazmat. Unto us, beginning from Brahma, down to the insignificant ant. Prasada. Causeless mercy. Sumukha. So inclined. Kaleha. With his plenary extensions. Kaleshaha, the Lord of all potencies. Ikshvaku, Maharaja Ikshvaku, in the dynasty of the sun. Vamshe, family. Avatirya, by descending in. Guroho, of the father or spiritual master. Nideshe, under the order of. Tishtan, being situated in. Vadam, in the forest. Satoyitaya Anujaha, along with his wife and younger brother. Avivesha, entered. Yasmin, unto whom? Virudhya, being rebellious. Dashakandaraha, Ravana, who had 10 heads. Artim, great distress. Archat, achieved. Translation, due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaja Ikshvaku as the lord of his internal potency, Sita. Under the order of his father, Maharaja Dasarath, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother. Ravana, who was very materially powerful with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished. So, purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his brothers, namely Bharata, Lakshman, and Shatrughna, are his plenary expansions. All four brothers are Vishnu Tattva, and were never ordinary human beings. There are many unscrupulous and ignorant commentators on Ramayana who present the younger brothers of Lord Ramachandra as ordinary living entities. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authentic scripture on the science of Godhead, it is clearly stated that his brothers were his plenary expansions. Originally, Lord Ramachandra is the incarnation of Vasudeva. Lakshman is the incarnation of Sankarsana. Bharata is the incarnation of Pradyumna. And Shatrughna is the incarnation of Anirudha. Expansions of the personality of Godhead. Lakshmiji, Sita, is the internal potency of the Lord and is neither an ordinary woman nor the external potency incarnation of Durga. Durga is the external potency of the Lord and she is associated with Lord Shiva. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter, text 7, the Lord appears when there are discrepancies in the discharge of factual religion. Lord Ramachandra also appeared under the same circumstances, accompanied by his brothers who were expansions of the Lord's internal potency and by Lakshmiji, Sita Devi. Lord Ramachandra was ordered by his father, Maharaj Dasarath, to leave home for the forest under awkward circumstances, and the Lord, as the ideal son of his father, carried out the order even on the occasion of his being declared the king of Ayodhya. One of his younger brothers, Lakshmanji, decided to go with him, and so also his eternal wife, Sitaji, she desired to go with him. The Lord agreed to both of them, and all together they entered the Dandakaranya forest to live there for 14 years. During their stay in the forest, there was some quarrel between Ramachandra and Ravan, and the latter kidnapped the Lord's wife, Sita. The quarrel ended in the vanquishing of the greatly powerful Ravana along with all his kingdom and family. Sita is Lakshmiji, or the goddess of fortune, but she is never to be enjoyed by any living being. She is meant for being worshipped by the living being, along with her husband, Sri Ramachandra. A materialistic man like Ravana does not understand this great truth, but on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Ram and thus incurs great miseries. The materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity may take lessons from the Ramayana that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord is the policy of Ravan. Ravan was very advanced materially, so much so that he turned his kingdom, Lanka, into pure gold or full material wealth. But because he did not recognize the supremacy of Lord Ramachandra and defied him by stealing his wife Sita, Ravana was killed and all his opulence and power were destroyed. Lord Ramachandra is a full incarnation with six opulences in full, and he is therefore mentioned in this verse as Kaleshaha, or master of all opulence. Asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha ishvakuvamsa vitirya guror nideshe tishtanvanam sadayatana te tananu javavivesha yasmin virudya tashakandara arti marchat. So, okay. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah Garanjana Shalakaya Chakshun and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, this is a very interesting verse. Of course, Ram Nomi was a few days ago. So somehow they picked this verse today for me to read from. I don't know why, but anyway. So we can speak about many things in regard to this verse, but one thing that comes to mind that we didn't speak about before when we were talking about Lord Rama's appearance was the relationships there and the wonderful relationships and the loyalty that the different family members had in regard to each other, which is, you know, just remarkable. Nowadays, of course, you find, you know, the son doesn't obey the father, right? The son is just asking for money from the father, and isn't it? And so, but with Lord Ramachandra, there's many relationships. Let's take the son-father relationship first. Okay. Lord Ramachandra was completely obedient to his father. And anyway, so he was so obedient to his father that there's an interesting story. Of course, there's a story about him being banished to the forest. But his father had made these promises. That's another point. His father had made these promises to Kaikeyi, and which I guess was a big mistake. So that Kaikeyi, his wife, had actually saved him when he was in the battle, and he was, you know, he was fighting against some demons or something like that, and he had become unconscious, and Kaikeyi just like drove the chariot. And I mentioned this the other day. This shows that the women in the Vedic system weren't your just stay at home, you know, roll your japati type of ladies. They were actually, you know, according to their varna, women actually had varna. Women had some spunk to them. You understand? Now, according to like the modern Indian culture, has actually been influenced more by the Muslims than by anybody else, practically speaking. And so they think, you know, the women's place is at home and the chapati has to be perfectly round, right? If it's not round, they just throw it back at the lady's face until she keeps rolling until it's round. Anyway, so what do they say? Oh, they, and even the men sometimes, they say that women and children are supposed to be seen and not heard. So in the Vedic system, the women actually did things, you know, according to their nature. They also had varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So she was a Kshatriya lady, and so she went and saved her husband. And her husband said, I'm so thankful you saved me. Therefore, you have two boons, anything you want. She said, I'll save them for later. That's intelligent. I mean, if you were offered boons by someone, you know, just say, let me save them for later when I really need them. And then another thing is, of course, Dasarath had also promised to Kaikeyi's father that he would post her son as the king or the emperor. And the reason is that she was the youngest and Kaikeyi's father kept refusing. You know, just like you see in the Mahabharata, like Satyavati's father, isn't it? She said to Shantanu that you know, my daughter is not going to marry you unless her son becomes the king. And Of course, Shantanu had already promised his wonderful son, Bhishma, that he would become the king. So Shantanu was like in a dilemma, and went into depression. And also shows how sometimes men are so attached to the ladies that they just lose their intelligence and make a promise like that. Shantanu lost, I don't want to criticize him, he's a great soul, but he actually lost it a few times. Like when he was so attached to Ganga Devi, for example, that she kept throwing their babies into the water and killing them, infanticide it's called. And it was just like abortion. And he just knew he couldn't say anything because if he said anything, what would happen? She'd leave. And finally, with the eighth kid, he couldn't stand it anymore. And that was Bhishma. Anyway, so the point is, Shantanu did have certain issues with ladies. He's very attached. So anyway, similar thing with Dasarath. He's just showing you how, if you're so much attached to the sex life, attachment to the opposite sex, you can actually become bewildered and do crazy things. So Dasarath promised this. He wasn't thinking, I have an older wife, I have an older wife, and Kausalya and Sumitra, they're both older. So technically speaking, whoever gives birth first, that's the boy that's supposed to be the king. It's called primogeniture. That's a technical word. Everyone's heard that word? No. That means the oldest son. Genitor means to be born. Primo means first. So the first son, that's a Latin word actually, primogeniture. The first son is born, usually gets to be the king. Or the most qualified, if the first son happens to be unqualified. What's an example of a first son being unqualified? Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was unqualified because he was blind. Why is a blind king unqualified? Because if a king has to go to battle, it's not so good if he's blind. Can you imagine? Where's the enemy? Not so intelligent, So a king has to have his vision, or at least have glasses, so he can see. At least have an eye doctor who takes care of it. Anyway, getting the point. So Dasarath actually made that promise. He was so enthusiastic to have Kaikeyi because she was young and beautiful. And so, this is, and then, so sort of, she became sort of his favorite wife at that particular point. And that's another problem, too. You see problems there. Actually, you see problems in the Ramayana when people weren't concerned with Dharma. They were actually more concerned with their own sense gratification. You understand? So he was more concerned with his own sense gratification than Dharma. That's when you end up with problems. And so anyway, so he made the promise to her father, and he forgot about that promise. When he was getting ready to install Lord Ramchandra as the king or prince regent, he had actually forgotten about that promise. And of course, Kaikeyi wasn't going to press the whole thing because she loved Ram. She was actually very dharmic herself. She loved Ram as much or more than her own son, Bart. So there's no question that she would oppose, Ram's coronation. No question about it. But there's another point that even if someone has good qualities, if they take bad association, that's another thing we can learn from the story. Because there's all these lessons, giving lessons we can learn from the story. If they take bad association, they can lose their good qualities. And her bad association was Manthara. Mantra was like her maidservant. Actually, her maidservant had actually helped take care of little baby Bart when he was little, when he was a kid. And her maidservant Mantra just poisoned her mind. Her mind was pure beforehand. And just poisoned her mind. And just told her that, don't you understand what the real plan is? Your husband, your so-called husband, is going to install Lord Ramchandra. But guess what he's doing? He's doing it when Bart is away, Bart and Shatrughna are away. He planned on this because he wants Lord Ramchandra to take charge. And when Lord Ramchandra is in charge, he's going to actually, make Bart his servant, and Shatrughna his servant. Lakshman will be nice too, because Lakshman's his chumcha. But, Bart and Shatrughna, forget it. Your son is just going to suffer. You're just, and not only your son, because he's your son, you're going to suffer too. You're just going to be one of the maidservants in the palace. She didn't believe it at first, but Mantara just kept doing this and doing this and doing this. And then what happened is she pulled the lady's ultimate trick, the most powerful weapon, astra, that the ladies have. What is it? Tears, yeah, that's the astra, the tear astra. How do you say that in Hindi, tears? Asu? Yeah, like ashru. In Sanskrit, it's ashru, means tears. Same thing in Hindi, ashru or asu? So you change it a little bit. It's ashru. Like we say, ashru taranga bhaja, tears coming from the eyes like torrents of rain. You know, understand? So you say asu, eshu, ashu, and we say ashru. Anyway, so she just like went into her crying room. Every woman, every good woman has a crying room in her house. Do you have one here? You should establish that, you know. And so it's actually funny. Even in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's described how Satyabhama went into her crying room. And Krishna wasn't controlled by her. He just said, shut up. But he said, shut up. Actually, I don't love you. The only reason I married you was because you remind me of my girlfriends. So Krishna's not controlled by that weapon. But anyway, Dasarathi was controlled. What happened is that he went in to share the news of Ramchandra's coronation, and he asked, you know, where is Kaikeyi? And her servant said, she's in the crying room. And so he went into the crying room, and then she was on the floor. You know, men can't stand this when they see a woman. It's just like drives them bananas, you know. You know, they don't know what to do. It just like short circuits their brains. What did I do wrong? What happened? He said, you'll never understand. Doesn't ladies do that sometimes? And said, what am I supposed to understand? Oh, there you go again. And the man ever experienced this? No. Yeah. Anyway, and then so the poor man, he's just bewildered, you know, he doesn't know what's happening. He's ready just to surrender everything and do whatever the woman asks. He's a warning to you, man. So anyway, so so he said, what can I do? What can I do? Anything you want. So we made another promise of a boon. You know, there was the third promise of a boon. It was bad enough that he promised to her father. Bad enough he promised on the battlefield. But then again, he says, whatever you want. You know, so she says, well, I got this guy, you know. Trapped him. Ha ha, gotcha. You know, you ever heard the word gotcha? That's what she was thinking. Gotcha. And so this poor guy, you know. She says, well, now that you ask. She sat up, the tears disappeared. Now that you're asked, you know, I do have something. He said, I want Ram banished to the forest, you know, not to go in any city for 14 years. That's what it was. Like that. And she said, also, I want Bart to be installed as the king or emperor. And he was a god. And he went unconscious at that point. But she wasn't like at all, you know, concerned. You know, the poor guy's unconscious. My husband's unconscious. Better take him to the doctor or something like that. She says, oh, the old booger is just can't take any stress in his life. You know, in other words, she was actually a very good woman, but by the association of mantra, her consciousness became polluted. And so, anyway, so Dasarathi was lying there, and she called for Sumantra, you know, the servant, the minister, the prime minister. And she said, Sumantra, call for Ram. His father has something to say to him. And so Sumantra called for Ram. Ram came, and his father couldn't speak. You know, Dasarath was just, because he was so much in love with Ram. You know, he loved Ram so much. So finally, she had to convey the message. And Ram said, you know, this Ram was so dutiful. He said, you didn't have to get him to do this. Even if you asked me to do that, I would have agreed. You know, he's so dutiful because he considered her to be like mother. So that's another point. That even though she wasn't the actual blood mother, there was such etiquette, you know, love. He said, you know, even if you asked me, I would do it. She didn't even, her heart didn't soften at that point, which is just remarkable. She said, no, I just want to see you
and to wearing tree bark and change of dress. And so Ram didn't, he wasn't upset with all these. Okay, Hare Krishna. So Ram went, he told his wife, he said, Sita Devi, I'm going to the forest, see you in 14 years. Sita Devi said, you're going alone? No, I'm going with you. The wife is always supposed to be like with the husband. And so he said, no. You were raised in the palace and you're accustomed to soft beds and the forest, we have to, walk either barefoot or on these wooden shoes and everything. At that time, they didn't have like Birkenstocks and sneakers and everything like that, right? The forest shoes were at most like wooden shoes. And so, you're accustomed to luxury. You've grown up your whole life. You were born on a lotus petal. How are you going to go to the forest? And she said, I will not leave without you. So that's also another indication of just great devotion. She was inseparable. And then, of course, Lakshman came, and he said, I'm not going, you're not going without me either. And then so Ram said, he was, because of that great love between the brothers. And so then they agreed, and they shortly thereafter left the forest dressed in tree bark. Actually, they made clothes from tree bark. It really didn't look like tree bark. But it was like stitch. You can actually get some like threads from tree bark and they stitch it from tree bark. It's very uncomfortable, actually. So they went to the forest together, and as they left, Dasarath, actually, he had so much love for Ram that he followed Ram. Not only did he follow Ram to the forest, but actually all the citizens of Ayodhya followed Ram. And then Kaikeyi got so upset. She said, what's the use of my son being the king of Ayodhya if everybody's gone? Come back, you old man. I mean, she treated him like dirt at that time. It was hellish, the relationship. I mean, of course, this is a pastime, I understand. She treated him like dirt, and then all the citizens were forced to come back. But some of them continued to follow him along with Sumantra. And they went to the bank of the river, the Sarayu River, and they camped out for the night. And Lord Ram actually woke up very, very early in the morning just to sneak away so the citizens wouldn't follow him. He was actually very dutiful to his father's order. I mean, just completely dedicated. He didn't think twice. Actually, one thing that I forgot was that Lakshman said to Ram before they actually went into the forest, he said to Ram, look, this old man, he's just controlled by this woman. Let me just, lock him up in prison or something like that. So he was ready to lock his father up. I mean, we don't say you should do that. But anyway, so he was ready to lock his father up in prison and, just like capture him for the sake of his brother. Such was the love between Ram and Lakshman. Can you imagine that? Such is the love. But Ram said, you can't rebel against your father. Because Ram was Dharma personified. You say, you can't read. This is ridiculous, Lakshman. The order of our father is very important. How can we live and disobey the order of your father? You understand, KB? I'm training him up now. So you'll have a good son. When we're finished with him, you'll have a good son. He'll listen to anything you say. Instead of saying why, he'll say how high, If you say jump, instead of say why, how high, Dad. This is a proper training. It'd be like in the army, military discipline. Yes, Peter Shree. Yes, Peter Shree. No question. So Ram never even thought of his mind about rebelling or disobeying his father. Not even his mind. All right, so he goes to the forest. And Bart and Shatrughna come back, after visiting their uncle. So they come back and they discover what's happened. So Bart, loving his brother so much, doesn't say, Hari Bol, you get to be the king now, this is great, Thank God that Ram is out of the way. Not like modern day, political intrigue and things like that, where people imprison their own father, like it's Aurangzeb, isn't he? Imprisoned his own father. You know that story? Shah Jahan, he made this beautiful monument, they say, but actually it's a Shiva temple. But anyway, so they say he made this beautiful monument for his love of his life. What was his wife's name?
Nuja.
What?
Nuja.
Nuja? Nurjaha. So, you know, there's so much in love. It's a love story. Anyway, and he made this monument. And then his son says, you know, get to jail, Dad. And Dad had one final request. He wanted to be in jail where he could see the Taj Mahal. Did you know that? He wanted to have a prison cell where he could just look at the Taj Mahal. Remember his wife. Yeah.
Can I be excused?
Yeah, okay. Okay, let me know what happens. We'll see you later, all right? We'll have KP trained up by the time you come back, so. I don't know who picked this verse, but it, did you pick it? Your mother picked it. Okay. So, all right, so this is funny. Krishna speaks through his devotees. So anyway, so... You can record this class and transcribe and put it on the wall. So what happened? So anyway, so let's get back to the story. So Bart and Shatrughna came back and they discovered what had happened. But Bart had so much love for his mother, for his brother, not too much love for his mother, that he actually rejected her. He rejected her as his mother. He said, you know, she said, "Look what I've done for you, my dear son. I've gotten the kingdom for you. Oh, my wonderful son." And he said, "You're not my mother anymore. You demon, you know, just get the hell out of here." So he rejected his mother out of love for his brother. This is how much love was there. And Shatrughna became a little more violent. He took Mantra and he was getting ready to kill her, you know. Mantra was so happy because she'd gotten jewels from Kaikeyi. You understand? Kaikeyi awarded her for coming up with this wonderful idea. So she had all these jewels on, and then Shatrughna just started dragging her through the hallway, you know, swinging her back and forth, and the jewels were just like all the, you know, the necklaces and actually were breaking apart, and the jewels were going all over the place, and he just like, "Can you kill this source of all of our problems?" And Bart said, no. "You can't kill her. This is not appropriate, you know. Not that we like what she did, but, you know, at least Ram would not like." In other words, he said, "We're not going to kill her because Ram would not approve." That was actually his argument. I mean, that's so much love. You talk about real love, but, you know, and dedication to his brother. And then what happened is they actually, you know, Bart and Shatrughna went to find Ram to give him the kingdom. And it's described, in order to go for Ram, the Ramayana describes that they built a road all the way to where Ram and Sita and Lakshman were staying. And this road was very wide, and they took elephants, chariots, and, you know, horses, and, you know, all sorts of different implements. They took, like, tens of thousands of people with them. A whole retinue. Retinue means like a whole bunch. So a whole retinue of people with them on this giant road. They had a road specially built to go see Ram. So they were proceeding to see Ram. And then Lakshman, he was always guarding Ram. So he looked, he was on the tree. They saw a cloud and they said, "What's a cloud?" You know, a dust cloud or something like that. And Lakshman climbed the tree and he saw this big army with the insignia of the Sun dynasty. And then he thought, "Oh, that's Bart. He's come. You know, not only is he the king now, but he just wants to make sure Ram never comes back. He just wants to kill him." So Bart was. Lakshman was thinking like that. "Oh, let me get ready to kill him." You know, he took his bow and arrows out and was just tuning up his arrows and everything like that, and said, "I'm going to kill this brother for the sake of Ram." So they all loved Ram like that. And Ram said, "You know, better to think twice before doing anything like this." And actually, in the Vedic literatures, it says before doing anything like mean and inauspicious, you should think 100 times. Before doing anything nice, you should do it immediately. You know, in other words, good things should be done immediately, and things that may be questionable, you should think hundreds of times. There's a story in the Mahabharata about this son who was very slow. And the son was ordered by the father to kill his mother, because the mother had done something not agreeable to the father. So the son, he was very slow in deliberating things. He thought, well, should I? Should I? The father went away for a day. And the son was thinking, should I? And the father realized, you know, what? How can I kill my wife? And he came back after a day and found the son getting ready to kill his mother. So it took him one day to decide to follow his father's order. And so the father finally said, stop. And he said, thank God you take a long time in deciding things. And then he said, from this day forward, anything that's inauspicious should be, we should take a long time to make a decision about. You know, like attacking someone, doing some legal thing, or suing someone in court. But auspicious things like eating prashan, we do immediately. So anyway, so Lakshman, getting back to the story, Lakshman was ready to kill his brother. And, you know, Lord Ramchandra calmed him down. And finally, they discovered that Bart wasn't there for nefarious purposes, but Bart actually wanted to bring Ram back. And Ram, he just refused. He said, I'm not going back because of the word of my father. I have to be obedient to the word of my father. See again? The word of the father, the supreme. So anyway, so he said, I have to be obedient to the word of my father. So there's this whole discussion, and even Janaka, the father of Sita, came to sort of like be the mediator or negotiator or something like that, you know, back and forth. This is portrayed in the movie quite nicely. And then, anyway, so finally it was decided that Ram won the argument because Bart said, you know, I love you so much, you should come back. And then the point about love is you should listen to what the beloved wants, not what you want the beloved to do. So that was actually the whole conclusion of the discussion. And therefore, Bart went back, but he installed the shoes of Lord Ramchandra as actually the king. And he just went and lived outside of the city, and he lived in a ditch in the ground so he would sleep at a lower place than Lord Ramchandra. So much love, isn't it? Think about that. And he just ate barley cooked in cow's urine during the whole period of exile. Can you imagine that? Just barley. Can you? Did you ever drink cow urine? Anyone here ever take cow urine? Yeah. Isn't it? What does it taste like? Salty. Extremely salty. Bitter. Just, ooh. And then you take a little cow urine. I mean, it's good for you. It's good for the liver and kidneys, but whew. It's almost better to die. Isn't it? I mean, it's just like, if you had to drink it every day, what would you want to do that? And if they cooked your prasadmi or daruka in it? Even if it was daruka or lanka, you wouldn't want to eat it anymore. You become very thin, like. Because you wouldn't eat. So he was just eating that for 14 years. And so much love. Can you imagine, a brother doesn't want to be in a higher position than his older brother, you know, Ratashri, Jesh Ratashri. And younger is called Anuj, right? So, see, I'm learning something. So he doesn't want, so anyway, so he took that position. And then Shatrughna was the one who ran back and forth and, you know, became the messenger. And he didn't take care of the affairs of the kingdom, but he communicated, you know, Bart's instructions to the kingdom. But Bart did not live in a yoja at all. He lived outside of a yoja. So, anyway, so such love was there, amazing love. And Bart also took a vow that if Lord Ramchandra does not return on the very day that this exile is over, he's going to enter into a fire. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? He's going to enter the fire and kill himself. So what happened is that on that very day, it came time, you know, the hours were ticking off and the minutes were ticking off and he was looking at his watch. Well, time to enter into the fire. And he was actually circumambulating the fire. So Lord Ramchandra understood this, and when he came back, when he was on his way back, he made a few stops on the way back. You know, he wanted to visit the sages, you know. You know, just like the past times, you want to see, you know, this is what where we did this, this is where we did that. He wanted to show Sita Devi. And they were having a good time on the flower airplane anyway, that they had taken from Ravana. You know, you understand? This is like, it was like their first honeymoon, you know. So and they had all their friends with them, the monkeys and everybody. You know, the airplane, Pushpa Vimana, could expand to any size, frankly speaking. So they had Vibhishan there and all the monkeys and even the favorable Rakshasas. So it was like a whole marriage party, like you have marriage parties. And so, but Lord Rama understood that, you know, if you didn't get back on time, Bart would commit suicide. And so what he did is he actually sent Hanuman ahead. He said, you fly there. And so Hanuman flew ahead. Super monkey. Yeah, they should actually have a show. Super monkey. Hanuman. Faster than a speeding bullet. Anyway, so Hanuman flew ahead, landed, and he said, they're just now coming. And then Bart said, how can I believe you? This is India, where they always say it's just now coming. No, he didn't say that. I'm just making a little joke. And Hanuman said, yes, for sure, you can see. And you can see, look in the distance, there's that little spot. And that, you know, the spot with the pushpaka bhima, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then gradually landed, and everyone's so happy to see Lord Rao and Sita Devi and everything like that. So anyway, so these are some of the stories about loyalty. I mean, there's many more stories about loyalty. There's the story of Jataya and Sampati, which is another story. I mean, the Ramayana is full of stories of loyalty. Jataya and Sampati, they were the sons of Aruna, you know, the sun god's charioteer, and they were birds. Because Aruna is actually a bird. I don't know if you knew that. You didn't know that? There's a whole story in the Mahabharata about Aruna's birth. Anyway, he's the son of Vinata and Kashyapa. And anyway, I don't want to tell that story. It's a long story. But anyway, they were the sons of Aruna. And they were flying very high. Jataya was flying very high near the sun, and he was going to get burnt. So Sampati, actually loving his brother, covered him. And he fell down to the earth. His wings completely scorched. So there was another story about love, you know, between two personalities. And, of course, Jataya was so loyal to Lord Ramchandra and Dasarath. He was Dasarath's friend, actually. That Jataya gave up his life defending Sita Devi. There's another story of loyalty. Anyway, and Sampati waited there, and he told the monkeys where Sita Devi was being held. And even there's stories of loyalty in the Rakshasa family. You know, you have Ravana with his brother Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna knew that was a mistake to fight. He said he also advised Ravan, you know, give back Sita Devi. But Ravan said, no, you know, how can you ask me to give back Sita Devi? You know, she's the best thing I ever had in this world. Of course, he didn't realize that she was Durga Devi instead of Sita Devi, because it wasn't the real Sita Devi he had. And Kumbhakarna, after giving instructions, he just said, he was the brother too, of Ravan, and he was a younger brother, so he just said, you know, I have to serve my brother. You know, that's my business. Even if I die, I have to serve my brother. So there's another story of loyalty. And then you also have, let's see, what are the other stories there? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then Indrajit too had realized that. Indrajit had also realized that his daddy had made a big mistake and kidnapped, and he said to his father, you know, Ram, he said, Sri Ram, he said, and Ravan said, even you're using the word Sri here? You know, shut up, you know. He said, this is God we're dealing with, you know, this isn't just like some man there. And his father just said, you know, shut up, you know. If you're actually my son, you know, you better go fight. And so Indrajit said goodbye to his wife. And he said, you know, this is the last time we're going to see each other. You know, sad, isn't it? The last time we're going to see each other. And this was after Indrajit tried to perform that sacrifice to get an invincible chariot and everything like that. And, you know, Hanuman had gone and just passed urine on his sacrifice. Yeah, he ruined the sacrifice, you know. In the movie, it doesn't show that. It just shows him throwing things into the fire. But actually, Hanuman passed urine on it. And that ruined everything for him. And so he knew he was going to die, because it was actually predicted that he would die if the sacrifice was not completed. If the sacrifice was completed, he would never die. And if the sacrifice was not completed, he would die that day. So it was understood. But still, Indrajit sacrificed his life for his father. So you see this. And Mandodari, too. She didn't sacrifice her life, obviously. But she actually gave Ravana good advice. She's known as one of the most chaste ladies in history. In fact, when you do a marriage sacrifice, you actually recite the name, Ravana Mandodari. She's one of the celebrated couples. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Probably the only demon couple that's mentioned in the marriage sacrifice. People often ask, why are you chanting Ravana's name in the sacrifice? Because she's so chaste, so loyal. So you have all these different relationships, and of course Satrughna was loyal to Bharat, and Lakshman was inseparable. Another thing about Lakshman's loyalty, Lakshman did not even eat the whole time they were in the Dandakaranya forest. Did you know that? For 14 years, Lakshman didn't eat a bite. And Lord Ram asked him later on, he said, why didn't you eat? He said, I gave you food every day. And Lakshman said, you gave it to me, but you didn't tell me to eat. And so Ram said, because of this, you should ask for a benediction, ask for a boon. And Lakshman said, well, the boon I want is from now on I want to be born as your older brother. He said, this younger brother business is just like too heavy for me. You're asking me to do all these things like send your wife into the fire, I've had it, So therefore, next time he's born is Balaram. Balaram's the older brother. But even though Balaram's the older brother, Krishna didn't listen to his older brother. Like I said, Krishna, don't take the pastimes of Krishna as a good example. Because Krishna, he got his sister married to Arjuna against his older brother's wishes. You can imagine that? Krishna just violated all these rules. But Ram never violated any rule. Therefore, he's our role model. Krishna is not our role model. You understand? Krishna, we worship, we want to serve him, we love him, but we don't want to be like him. I hope you don't want to be like him. But Ram, we actually want to be like. You understand? That's the difference. So anyway, these are wonderful examples for us, isn't it? The loyalty and love they have in the family. And this is actually civilization where people are loyal and sacrifice their own happiness for others' happiness. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, another point is that we actually consider all living entities to be our family. Another point is, of course, someone could say, well, Maharaj, your father said, don't join the Hare Krishna movement. Why are you setting a bad example? You should have just become a doctor. So, the point is that, actually, there's several points in that regard. One point is that I did the best thing for my father. Because by joining the movement, now he's in a better situation. He left his body. Had I become a doctor, it wouldn't have made any difference to him. Wouldn't have helped him. Oh, so Anuradha had left already? She's moving the car. Had I become a doctor, wouldn't have helped him. So I actually is serving my father in the best possible way. You understand? Mm-hmm. Because now he left his body, and now he's, born in some family. Maybe he'll be Sudevi and KB's son or something like that. Unless she gives birth to a cat. I mean, that's very possible. You imagine, you go in the delivery room and you say, oh, is it a boy or a girl? Oh, it's a cat. Like the demigods, they have, sometimes the demigods, they have like non-human children, like Kashyapa. You understand? Kashyapa has all these, he has birds, snakes, and everything as children. Did you know that? It's an interesting story. But anyway, so I'm serving my father. And actually, Srila Prabhupada is my father, too. But I'm serving all my fathers. You understand that? And my mother I'm serving. I haven't neglected that. It's just that they didn't know what was good for them. And I know what's good for them. So I'm actually dedicating my life to serving my father. So it's not that if your father asks you to do something that's counterproductive for his happiness, that you have to do it. If your father says, shoot me, what are you going to do? You're going to say, all right, Dad, I have to follow your order, shoot you. Crazy. Like I gave that story about the father who said, kill your mother. I mean, you don't do something that doesn't have a good... That's actually a Vedic injunction. Duty is only obligatory if it has a good result. That's the Vedic injunction. If it doesn't have a good result, you're not obliged to do it. Does everyone understand? That's the Vedic injunction. So really important. You know, your father says, you know, to go kill yourself. You know, are you going to go kill yourself? No. Okay. So any questions or comments about these things?
Also in the instance, a lot of men say, no, the wife should like Shiladevi, but then some are like the Lord Ramchandra, example.
Yeah, they're like Robin.
So they have a defense.
Yeah, we see that in the movement all the time, that someone gets married, they read all these books, and they think, boy, it's going to be nice to be married because I'll have a wife like Sita Devi. It's one of the reasons devotees get married. Because they want... I'll give a sannyas class right now. But anyway, so they just think, oh, my wife is just going to be like Sita Devi, never think of anyone else but me. Wow, it would be so great to have a disciple, even though I'm not a guru. So, but they don't act like you said, they don't act like Lord Ramchandra. They're not dharmic. It's not that Lord Ramchandra never lost his temper at Sita Devi. Lord Ramchandra never yelled at Sita Devi. Lord Ramchandra never beat Sita Devi. Isn't it? Even Ravana never beat Mandodari. See? But they're acting worse than Ravana. A man who hits his wife is, it's actually worse than Ravana. Because Ravana would never think of doing such a thing. He loves his wife. So, I mean, they act worse than Ravana. Uncivilized. Ravana was actually quite a civilized character. He was expert in reciting Vedic mantras. They would be invited to sacrifices sometimes. Because his pronunciation was perfect. And he had 10 heads, you know. You can do a lot of the sacrifice of time. You can chant the Brahma Samhita, you know, at the same time. You chant Tom and another person can read the Bhagavatam. I'm sure he didn't chant the Brahma Samhita, but anyway. But Karma Kanja sacrifices he was expert at. So the men shouldn't try to make their wives like Sita Devi unless they're like Ram. So otherwise they should just realize, you know, just tolerate your wife for what she is. And she's tolerating you.
But you also explain this expansion and partial expansion. Expansion. I mean, here we read.
Well, expansion means that, you know, Krishna manifests a portion of his opulence, the same person, but he manifests a portion of his opulences, whereas Lord Ramchandra manifested all the opulences of God, of course, not all the characteristics of Krishna and Vrindavan, like playing a flute and intimate devotees, but he manifested all 6 opulences in full. And other incarnations may manifest partial manifestation of those 6 opulences. But it's the same person. Sometimes, let's say you're a student in the university and you know more than the professor. You know, you really know more about the subject matter than the professor. You're usually not going to manifest it. You're just going to act, you know, humble like that in front of the professor sometimes, even though you have that knowledge. So in the same way, all of Krishna's incarnations have, you know, the Vishnu-tattva incarnations have full opulences. But it's Krishna doesn't manifest those in all the incarnations. That's the difference. So those expansions that Rama or Lakshman, Bharata, Shatrughna, they're the Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha expansions. They each exhibit a little less of the opulences of God, but they all have the same opulence because they're all the same person simultaneously. Does everybody understand that? And so they exhibit less, just like you exhibit less under certain circumstances.
Plenary
means same plane. Plenary, plane. It means they are God. Yeah, plenary means on the same plane. You know, plenary, plenary. Like they have the same, you know, the same person. That's what the word plenary means. expansions and expansions and expansions. But Advaita Chutanadi Rananta Rupam Ajim Purana Purusham Dava Yovadam Cha. There's one God, and he manifests himself in a variety of forms for pastime's sake. Just like you can put on different costumes. You know, when I was in school, I used to put on different plays. Any of you ever put on a play, do a play? Yeah, what play did you do?
We did Jagannath Priyanath.
Oh, that's nice. You did spiritual plays. I did material plays. I think I played Julius Caesar one time. And I got killed. And I said, "Et tu, Brute," you know. You know, good Brutus. "Et tu, Brute." So, even though I was playing Caesar, still I was still whoever I am. Because that time I wasn't a devotee. A devotee would not play Julius Caesar. Unless he got paid for it, you know. Not voluntarily. So, any other questions? It's getting late. Not that late, actually. So, anyway, so, one thing I wanted to mention is about the prasadam this morning. Because Draupadi's not here to prepare for the deities, I'm going to bring the deities over to where we're eating and make sure they don't make the offering until we get there. Yeah. They're about to do those, yeah. Make sure they hold off on our